Synthaholics, it's the Ragnarok Podcast.
Synthaholics, we have a full house today. I am Aaron O'Brien, and with me is David Duncan. Say hello,
everywhere
David.
Everywhere you look, everywhere you somebody who needs you. Oh, wait, sorry. David, yes, I'm here.
David's here, and all with us as well is Holly Michelle. Say hello, Holly.
Hello, Holly.
She's also played by two people, just like Michelle was.
Oh, nice. All right.
By twins.
Hey, guys. We're back. I'm glad you could join us. We hope that you got to listen to our last Halloween, the Cintha Halloween?
Cintha Halloween. Oh,
that was such a fun episode. I'm sorry I missed it.
We had some fun. Some laughs.
We did.
We got a few more little funny laughs. This episode, we are talking about the original series. We're dialing it back again. We're going back to the original series. We're going to talk about the Ultimate Computer. Where Kirk loses his job to a computer. So, it's going to happen sooner or later. So, but before we jump into that, guys, someone posted online this Keaton Patty. He wrote that he forced a bot to watch over 1,000 hours of Star Trek. And then asked it to write an episode of Star Trek on its own. And then he put the first couple pages. And it got a lot of retweets. And since we're talking about artificial intelligence, this might be just a fun thing to see where artificial intelligence has taken us so far. So we're going to do a reenactment of that. Are you guys ready?
Synthaholics presents USS Enterprise Rent-A-Car Spaceship. A Trek crew treks through space, the final place to trek. The Captain Kirk is the captain, and so is Captain Picard. Picard is next generation. The bald generation. Captain Picard.
Let's go to that comet. Make it so.
Captain Kirk.
Nice joke, but I have hair, so I have the power. We go to a planet.
Sulu, the ship's turner, can't decide which button to hit. Sulu.
Smith has too many options. Two options. It's too many.
A spacenoid bleeps a bloop. Spock, a thing with ears, hears. Spock.
Captains, an alien wants to speak to yous. This alien is from space.
Captain Kirk.
Always from space, these aliens!
The alien appears on a screen. It looks straight from space. Alien.
Please help us. Help us by dying.
The ship shakes, hit by a long and prosperous shake laser. Captain Picard.
Set my phaser to mad. Make it so.
Spock.
I cannot give the shields more power. They will abuse it.
The shields have a history of this. The ship shakes again. Data, a man that ate a computer for its power, taps buttons.
Space is big. Let's just leave.
Sulu hits a button, and the ship warps to a comet. Now safe, Picard hits Kirk with the captain's log tree weapon. Kirk is beamed unconscious. Picard walks to the space drink machine. Captain Picard.
Tea. Earl Grey. Hot. Make it so. No. Make it tea.
The machine gives him a cup of hair. He is happy.
Nice. You know, you got to wonder, you know, it is amazing that you can have a bot, like, take in all that information of the episodes and then try to make sense out of it. But it just kind of, like, takes it all in and regurgitates weird things.
It just combines random things and tries to make it into something. Mm. Because two captains at once is great. Although, the last thing it watched was probably Generations, which were Picard and Kirk together.
It's possible, but Spock wasn't in there, so maybe just watch random episodes of, you know, original series and the Next Gen. But 1,000 hours is like, that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah,
that's
almost all of it. I think it's all of it and the movies.
That is a lot.
All of it, like the new as well.
Probably not the new as in that, but there were 700 episodes, and then there's right. So that's, you know, 700 something hours.
Mm-hmm. Right,
give or
right.
take a few minutes for shows not actually being an hour long a piece. And then you got the movies, which range from, like, I don't know, 2 hours to 2.5 hours.
Yeah, but it's funny. It's that there is, like, a technology to do that, but it's still not quite there yet. And I know there's, like, things that are more developed over time to make it that you can do some pretty wild stuff with, you know, bots can seem like they know what they're doing, but they really haven't figured it all out yet. So here we go. So this is The Ultimate Computer. This is the original series. This is Season 2, Episode 24, first aired March 8th, 1968. The Enterprise is brought to a space station without an explanation by Commodore Enright and Commodore Bob Wesley, who's in command of the USS Lexington, is beamed over to the Enterprise, and he's told that Kirk that the M5 multitronic unit, which is designed by Dr. Richard Daystrom, will be installed on the ship, and they're going to do war games with the and to test it out. And so,
I love how they always play the menacing music when anyone who's equal rank or higher than Kirk appears on the ship.
Yeah, it's like, who's this asshole? Actually, I gotta say, Bob Wesley, that's a silver fox right there. That's a handsome man.
Like a
I don't
fox.
Know, he was such a dick, I was fox. Not able to enjoy his appearance.
He didn't kill Kirk, so he's not
He didn't
that
kill
good.
Kirk. What did you say, how he was such a what?
Such a dick.
How was he a dick?
How
he
was
called
he
Captain
a dick?
Kirk Captain MacGuffin or whatever he called him.
Called him MacGuffin? Obsolete, essentially, and he's a close-minded...
Are we talking about Daystrom, or are we talking about the captain of the Lexington?
Captain of the Lexington.
Oh, man, I had a totally different take on him.
No, he was like, you're going to do this, and that's that, and suck it up, Buttercup, get your 20 people around, and then when shit hit the fan, he didn't even once consider, maybe the computer took over the goddamn ship.
We can talk about how that all shakes out later on, but I mean there's things that honestly that maybe he just was following orders to himself.
I don't know. It seemed like at least the actor portrayed it in a way that was like he was a dick.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Dr. Daystrom, he designed the Duotronic computers that are used on the Enterprise, and apparently he did that when he was in his early 20s, so he was like one of these young prodigy geniuses, and now he's older, and he has made this M5 multitronic unit, and so he comes aboard as well, and they're only going to use a minimal personnel for these trials that they're going to do with this M5 computer unit. So Daystrom is brought to engineering, where he is going to install the computer. And the other side of it is, too, is that Scotty won't let him plug it in.
I love that.
He's like, let him plug it in, Scott.
This is an exit-only hole, Captain.
He's like, all right, Captain, all right.
I don't swing that way.
You will now. I'm your captain. So Spock stays with Daystrom while Kirk and McCoy have a walk out, and they have a little discussion about Kirk not being needed anymore, that he's obsolete if this is a thing. So he's like, am I standing in the way of progress? And I thought it was interesting. I think this episode is way before, I don't know, maybe it's not way ahead of its time, because I'm sure this was happening all throughout every generation. But, you know, we see more and more generations where computers and technology are taking jobs away from people. Mm-hmm. So, but it was interesting seeing that happen.
Took her gerbs.
He took my gerb.
Took her gerbs.
So, and then we have Enterprise that's under the M5 control, goes to this the Class M planet, and they do some readings on it. Spock does some scans, and then Kirk decides recommendations of who's going to beam down to survey the planet, and then they have M5 do the same thing, and they have a, was it a different geologist? And M5 recommends this Ensign Carstairs, which I guess he surveyed this area before, and he was.
But he's a total noob. So the guy's got way more experience.
Well,
and yeah,
M5, their report comes out before Kirk actually voices his.
I thought Kirk did his first.
He said, like, it popped out of the console.
It printed first. Yeah, you're right. And when Daystrom asked why M5 made those decisions and did include, in the landing party did include Kirk and McCoy, it said that they're not essential personnel, so they're not even needed. So, as well, during that moment, Scotty keeps on saying that the decks 4 and 5, the power's shutting off and the environmental controls are shutting down. And Dr. Daystrom looks at and just says that he's turning those off because nobody's there. Cause there's only 20 people on the Enterprise. So
nobody's home.
Nobody. Just turn off the lights and turn the heat down, you know, kind of thing. So
get off by accident. You might not be able to breathe.
Oh, I went down to deck 5 and I suffocated.
More 10 forward.
Yeah, I guess. No drinks served at 10 forward.
Although the Enterprise is a smaller ship, the 10 is probably in the neck somewhere.
Yeah, this is, yeah, much, much smaller ship. So the other thing is Spock noticed that the M5 is drawing more energy than it did before, and Daystrom's kind of like, well, it's needs more power from functioning, and but Spock basically he kind of challenges that, saying that doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would it need to do all that? So so we already noticed it's something, and Kirk said way before any of this, just when it was being installed, that he said he was getting a red alert in the back of his head about the whole thing. So Kirk's uneasy about it. Yeah, so Kirk's uneasy about it, and Spock is, even though Spock's kind of enjoying the idea of this exercise, he's also a little bit dubious about
some things.
And
McCoy's loving Spock, loving the computer.
Right, right.
He's finally met the right computer, Jim.
I don't know how to set to that setting.
God damn it.
Fucking computers.
When you're a Star Trek nerd and your Alexa responds to computer. Sorry, guys.
That's great.
Yeah, you maybe should have turned her off for this episode about the ultimate computer.
But she's good at turning her off.
All right, so a ship arrives, and it's the Lexington, USS Lexington, USS Excalibur, Lexington under command of Captain Wesley, as before, and they're going to do a mock fight between the two, and the M5 is used to control the Enterprise. The Enterprise makes quick work of the two ships, and does
really old school, like switch toggle things with the protection things on them. Those are great.
Yeah.
M5 is the most advanced computer. We use the oldest toggles in the system. They didn't even get any of those nice little jelly bean buttons like the Enterprise has.
I know. It's a tie-in and stuff like that, right? And after the whole thing of the war games go on between the three ships, and the Enterprise is the victor, because of the M5 and its ability to work faster than any human can, the captain of the Lexington says, It says, congratulations to Captain Dunsel, and then Kirk just walks out.
And that was his nickname back at the academy.
He's a fucking idiot.
It's when he failed the Kobayashi Maru three times before passing it. Captain Dunsel.
So it's explained later that Spock, because McCoy's like, what does that mean? You know, and Dunsel is a term by a midshipman in the 23rd century to describe a part that serves no useful purpose.
Like Porthos at Enterprise.
Porthos. Well, Porthos is a dog, so...
Porthos is Captain Dunsel's Dunsel.
You think about it, Porthos was breathing their air, eating their food, and pooping.
Stealing all the ship's cheese.
Yeah, he was eating a lot of cheese. And then
although Dr. Phlox probably you could use Porthos's shit for all his other animals. So actually, yeah. Phlox probably loves Porthos more than Archer did, probably.
Captain, I'll keep this. Anyways.
I'll take his shit.
Please. So Kirk walked out of the Kirk walked out of the bridge, and then later on, McCoy catches up with him, and he gives him a couple drinks. It's Finnegan's Folly.
This should have been Kirk's flashback in Star Trek V.
Why Star Trek V?
I need my pain part. You know,
Right. When
I need my pain. I need the pain of losing out to a computer for a day.
Right. And they still have... Kirk still is wrestling with the ideas, like, you know, am I standing in the way of you know, progress? Am
is this what progress looks like? I don't know.
Yeah. And so you know, he's still trying to deal with that. Maybe just wounding his ego and not knowing where he's going to be in society if this M5 actually works. The other thing we noticed that was said before is that
maybe he could do a he could captain a mining vessel. That's a bad idea.
Really bad idea. So that's the next thing happens is a ore freighter that's robot control is just flying through the space, making a delivery, and M5 decides to attack it and blow it up. So obviously everyone's pretty upset. And Dr. Daystrom can't seem to tell it to shut down. So they can't disengage the M5 to shut it off. And when it blows up this this ore freighter, they're pretty upset with it. Like, you know, what if there were people on that ship? You know, thank goodness there wasn't. So
it was a robot ship. It just got confused.
So they decide to head down to engineering, and they're going to knock the power out. And when they're going to do this, one of the ensigns down in engineering goes to shut it off, and he is evaporated immediately.
That's how you get ghosts.
That's how you get ghosts. That's how ghost ships start.
This is how you get ghost ships. I wonder if Scotty had to, like, get some sage and cleanse engineering after.
Sage! I'm telling you, Captain, there's just ghosts all through the engine room.
The ghost of the ensign, he just talks about how he was just doing his job and he just died one day.
It was so pretty, sad. Pretty brutal, too, you know.
It's what drives Scotty to drink more than usual.
Yeah, I would definitely. You know, I hope that McCoy got him some of those cocktails, too.
No. He knows Scotty. He knows Scotty's blood alcohol level is way higher than it should be.
Your alcohol level is way too high.
Scotty, do you ever drink anything? Have you ever had water?
Whiskey. Water, sir? No. Something you bathe in.
Everyone cleans the rod of the toilet, right?
That's right. So now we're having in the staff room. They're talking about how they're going to do it. There's a Spock suggests a circuit that can be accessed below, and they can try to cut its cut the control from that circuit, and then they can get control of the helm and navigation. The
Jeffrey's
from there.
Tube.
The and old Jeffrey's tube.
Dr. Daystrom is very unhappy about this. Don't do it. Don't kill my little son.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that we started getting Daystrom's a little too attached to this computer just being a an experiment.
Dr. Daystrom, so call it mini me.
Meaning me. So, McCoy says that...
he's a very tall man.
He's a very large man.
He's always having to, like, duck through all the turbo lifts, the doors and everything. they always have him, like, in these really weird, awkward positions, crouching, so he can fit, his head can fit on frame with everything else.
Yeah, because he's kind of fitting with all the other actors. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, McCoy basically says that, he feels like, and they talk about it, that he's kind of like a father to child, relationship. And then, he brings up, like, with us, a child was antisocial and killed someone, you know, the father still probably would try to protect that child. So that's kind of relationship he has with the M5.
It's not really a child, it's me.
Yeah, which we don't know yet, but we know that he put these memory engrams into the, or human engrams into the M5, so it would act more human-like. And like you said,
this reminds me very much of the trouble with Edward thing, where he's like, "Oh, I put my DNA in it, of course."
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't you? No, what could possibly go wrong? Daystrom. Right. well, maybe a precursor. Like you said, they go into the Jeffries tube and they are cutting that circuit, and in the meantime, there's a rendezvous with three of the other ships, and they're going to do some more war games between the different ships. But obviously, Kirk and the crew are concerned that M5 will see them as a threat and then try to destroy them like they did the mining ship. So to save those people and to stop any kind of bloodshed, they're going to try to get control of the ship again so they can, you know, stop in its tracks. So, like you said, they go to the Jeffries tube, they climb up there, they try to turn it off, and while they're turning off, Daystrom kind of has a meltdown. Doesn't want them to...
He's losing his shit.
And when they said, yeah, we've been successful, we cut the circuit, now we rerouted it, now we can have control of navigation helm, what happens is Sulu and Chekov try to get control of everything, and what happens is there's nothing they can do. It's it basically tricked them all. It was like a Spock said, it was a wild goose chase.
It was a wild pheasant chase.
It sent a signal through that circuit to make it think that circuit was still being used while it rerouted to a different circuit to stay in control of the Enterprise. So
we might be fucked, guys. Have we tried shooting it yet?
Have you tried shooting it?
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
We keep trying. So the Federation, the four Federation ships come into for their war games, and they can't even communicate with them
because all M5 Constitution won't. Class ships. It's funny how there's no other ships in this era.
I know, it's
except
fun
except
though
for mining vessels.
Yeah, it was fun to see all those ships.
Oh yeah, others. For sure.
Yeah, so we have, with the Enterprise and this War Games, we have the Lexington, the Excalibur, the Hood, and the Potemkin. So they start doing the game exercises not knowing that the M5 has gone completely out of its mind, and they can't stop it whatsoever. I keep on saying Captain Wesley, but it's actually Commodore Wesley, so
Commodore. I apologize.
Commodore. And then when the Enterprise starts using full force and start actually firing on the four ships, the Commodore starts blaming Kirk. What are you doing? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah,
he has to know.
I don't like.
I know you don't like him.
Are you out of your mind, Kirk? Answer me! Answer me! Damn it! No, I can't. I would if I could. I just think it's just weird that he just assumes Kirk has turned evil.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's been out in space too long. He just wants to kill everybody. So this is where they've tried to shut the computer off. They can't even get near it because there's like force fields around it. They've tried to reroute the circuitry. They can't do that. Obviously, they've tried to turn it off, and it evaporated an ensign. So next, what they're going to say, well, Daystrom, you've talked to it before. It knows who you are. Maybe if you talk to it, maybe you can talk it down. And he starts having like this discussion with the M5 as the Enterprise, under control of the M5, just starts obliterating the ships and starts firing on them. So it's pretty pretty funny.
Is murder wrong? Maybe. should we keep ourselves alive? Most definitely. Does it can we murder and keep evil alive? Yeah, if it works.
Yeah. this is where we start realizing that Daystrom may have been a genius at some point, or maybe still is a genius, but obviously
when he was 25, he was a genius. Since then, he's gone on crack.
He's gone. He is so filled with ego and whatever you want to call it that he should create something more amazing than he did when the Duotronic computers that he put on the Enterprise. Now he wants to do something even more amazing.
Duotronics are like dinosaurs compared to M5.
And when Kirk's like, we just have to destroy it, and that's when he totally goes nuts, and then Spock just gives him the Vulcan nerve pinch and knocks him out, and they haul him off to sickbay.
Bring out your dad!
And this is when Kirk decides to have a little discussion that Kirk likes to do to computers every once in a while.
Every once in a while, Kirk has to talk a computer to death.
Yes. This has happened more than once.
No, man.
Pretty hilarious. Yeah, Nomad. Was the Return of the Archeons? I forgot. Yeah. Lanlu? Was that what it was? I can't remember the name of that computer. But they're all like that.
He's talked to many computers to death.
Yeah, exactly. Using only Kirk logic, of course.
Kirk logic.
So he goes through and says, you know, you what is your purpose? And the M5 is like, so humans don't have to put themselves at risk by going out into space, and they can do other things with their resources and time.
They can jack off way more if they're not going to space.
And then they go out in space, and that would save hundreds of thousands of lives, I'm sure, if people didn't have to go in space and it was all done by computers. And he says, well, but you've killed people on the Excalibur.
You've murdered them.
You've murdered them. And what's the penalty for, you know, what's the penalty for murder? And he's like, death. And then he decides to just shut himself down. And
he's still got control of the Enterprise. So the Enterprise is also shut down.
Yeah, he shuts it down, basically knowing that the ships are coming in and they're going to come in for the kill attack. Because during that time, the rest of the fleet that is out there decides that they have to destroy the Enterprise because the Enterprise has become a menace. And while it's sitting there, the ship completely powered down, sitting duck, they're waiting to be taken out by those other ships. At the last minute, they decide that they must have shut down something on the ship and that not to destroy it. Mm-hmm. So
Kirk's like, I gambled on his humanity.
That's right. And next, Dr. Daystrom is all tied up, sedated and sick.
Well,
bay.
He's not like tied up and
well, he's restrained. He's restrained. Yeah.
It would be so great if he was hanging out with Marta and the Garth of Izar. For whom gods destroy. He's just
that
like,
would be funny if they teamed up together.
That would have been hilarious. And like he blows up Marta.
Marta's legs, yeah.
Oh, runs poor off Marta.
Yeah.
Poor bad girl.
Yeah, so at the last minute we have a little discussion with Kirk and Spock going up the turbo lift back to the bridge, and that Spock gives him a jab saying, it'd be interesting if they put your memory engrams into a computer because it would be the most illogical computer I've ever seen. And they have a nice laugh. For once, on McCoy's behalf instead of Spock's.
Oh, making fun of the poor old country doctor.
That country boy. And that wraps up The Ultimate Computer. What did you guys think? Who wants to go first to talk about this?
I guess I will.
Okay.
Go it.
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, it was a fun episode, but it was a frustrating episode because you're like, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. This might be a really bad idea.
Right.
So, as a viewer, not enjoyable, but a fun episode. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we see these kinds of things coming in our future. You know, computers that can think and process and develop thought on their own.
Right.
And it's concerning.
Yeah, for
sure. But people keep doing it. I don't know.
We'll do it live.
You know, this could be the whole end of humanity. Let's keep working on this.
Well, I mean, isn't that what they are? Like Boston Dynamics, and they're like crazy robots. They're deer robot, they're dog robot. They're robots that look like people that they smack the boxes out of, and they have to pick the box back up again. These things are going to turn against us and murder us.
Yeah!
We're like creating Skynet. We're abusing all these robots.
I did, however, post a thing about selling your face on the Facebook page.
I saw that. Right.
Helping robots. I think I've got a very helpful face.
right.
I would totally sell my face. If they're going to fucking create them, let them create them. And, I mean, they're going to create them whether we want them to or not. So, I'll make money off of it.
Yeah, I mean, might as well for now, right? And as long as you can.
Except for the consequences later.
Yeah, damn the consequences.
Totally just kidding. Like, I would lend my face for that. But, yeah, it is terrifying. It is.
Yeah, because you imagine just running into you and there's the Holly model and, you know, you're, you know, doing whatever for like, you know, like you said, working in some kind of, they're working in some kind of hospitality thing where, you know, like behind a counter.
So running into my face is not something that it's not something that bothers me. What bothers me is the idea that one day we will have essentially a robotic species, and
we have a robotic citizen of Saudi Arabia right now, Sophia.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, yeah.
2017, and she wants to destroy humanity.
The problem I see is that...
Is she the ultimate computer?
No.
Well, it physically...
She's the creepy computer.
A personality in a form that is indestructible will never have humanity, because a big part of humanity is understanding that all life will end.
Mm-hmm.
So creating an indestructible being is not wise, because that's how you get, you know, people who think they're indestructible are not, I wasn't going to say terrorists. What's the other word?
Friends.
Friends?
If your friends think they're indestructible, I think you need no friends. I don't know. I'm okay with seeing a robot that is controlled by
people?
Programs.
There's certain things that, you know, they use robots for, like, demolitions, for bomb, you know, demolitions, like getting, you know... diffusing bombs and checking that stuff out. Obviously, we have robots on Mars and now on the moon.
Are we okay as long as they follow Asimov's three laws of robotics? Would that be is that sufficient enough to keep them okay?
I think you're going to have to do some more.
They don't have to follow laws.
Laws of man.
The laws of robotics. The laws of God.
Those are all theoretical, though. You can't put that kind of a law, quote unquote, into the programming of something when it can think for itself and reprogram itself.
Go let it reprogram the three laws. If it can reprogram the three laws, we're fucked.
Exactly. That's my point. Like, if it's a robot that... Have you ever seen the movie Nine?
No, but I've seen iRobot.
Well,
yeah, Halloween's I saw Nine. Around the Nine's, corner. Nine's a fun movie.
I
saw
love Seven. That movie. Does that count? It's super dark. Don't watch it with Kaylee, but it's a great movie. And it's basically a scientist creates this robot that is free thinking and sentient, and it destroys
data?
The world. And he does some other things, and that's how the film is able to go on. But yeah, it's not a good idea to do this. And I don't understand why people continue to strive to achieve it.
Yeah. Sophia and Boston Dynamics, they're going to destroy the world.
I think Skynet. They just want to be famous. I don't know what their end game is.
You mean the scientists or the robots?
The scientists.
Robots, they want destroy to be a star. All humans.
If we had a bunch of, what is Calcitron. Was that his name?
What was it?
Calcitron? No.
Is this
what's
like a...
The thespian robot from...
Calculon,
yes.
Oh, Calculon.
If we had a bunch of robots that were just like, let us act or take up, not entertaining, because I don't think that robots should be here for our entertainment.
But they are.
I want Calculon.
Calculon?
I want to watch the Calculon show. That's the one soap opera I can get behind.
My God. What if it was Calculon in Star Trek?
Days of Our Circuits.
Days of Our Circuits. Oh, man.
Dave, what did you think about this episode?
This episode made me laugh out loud several times. Not for anything anyone said, but just like there's all these weird zoom ups on Kirk. That he's not saying anything or doing anything. It just randomly zooms up on him. Like there's one like from like his crotch that goes up and zooms up into his face, like from like a crotch level. It's really weird. A bunch of really weird zoom ins that were just like so awkward. And they just like made me laugh out loud because it was just such a strange cinematography choice shot.
You know, I think that very first thing that you just said there, Dave, is probably why I noticed something in this episode.
Crotches?
No, I think I knew about crotches before this.
Tell us more.
They all have the same sideburns. Like, all of the ones serving on the Enterprise, they all have the same pointy...
They have the pointy sideburns.
It's the Enterprise sideburns cut.
It must be regulation sideburns.
It's Enterprise regulation.
But the Commodore didn't have... I don't remember if the Commodore had them or not.
I don't think so.
The scientist who created the computer, he did not have them. He had a straight, blunted one.
That's how you know they're not from the Enterprise.
I'm just saying, like... I wonder why this is the first time I noticed it, and maybe it is because of the weird close-ups on Captain Kirk.
it was pretty funny because Katie was like, "I didn't realize Spock had all this eyeshadow." I'm like, "Yeah, so he looks like an alien. He's got green blood."
Yeah, he always has that, right?
It was the first time she noticed it. She's like watched almost all the first two seasons, and this first time she noticed, like, "Yeah, that's kind of fun." And so he looks alien.
Yeah, that's always funny when you see that.
It's a good episode. Like, it's just funny that, like, everyone who's not on the Enterprise, like Star Trek is basically established this from the original series. If they're not from the hero ship, they're bad. Even if they're from the Federation. So it just seems like, I know, Aaron, you're a little upset about Spock smiling here and there. Just like any little thing that's happened anywhere in canon, they will take and they will run with. So Spock smiled, and his Ponfar episode, and in the original pilot, Spock will smile as much as they want him to in any time we ever see him again in Discovery. And now that we've got like instances of everyone who's not Starfleet or everyone who's not from the hero ship is basically a bad guy, even if they're part of Starfleet. This happens in TOS, Next Gen, DS9, Voyager not so much because you don't ever run into anyone else up from the Federation. It's like the one time the Federation's actually helpful. They're actually trying to help them get back.
Right.
It's like that's the only show where the Federation isn't a hindrance to the hero ship. But I think this is kind of like the thing. Like, Federation is corrupt if it's not the hero ship, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And the new Picard trailer really focuses in on that more. So everything's going to be bad.
Am I right? Is there going to be a revolution?
A revolution of?
Is he going to rise up against the Federation?
I hope so. Nuke it from the inside.
Nuke it from the inside.
Nuke it from space. I don't know. It's interesting. It's just very strange that Star Trek has set this up, even from the very beginning, that some of the good guys are also bad guys. Very strange.
But, you know, that's good character building, because some bad guys, you know, are actually good guys.
And then and Daystrom's stark raving mad, which is just crazy.
Yeah. I invented the ship!
His ego mirror, it's kind of like a mirror, not a mirror situation, but like, so Kirk is struggling in the beginning of this episode with whether or not his ego is causing the way he's feeling, if he's so prideful that, you know, he's concerned about his job.
Sure.
But then at the end of the episode, you find out that a lot of the issue with this scientist is that his ego, he thinks he's paved the way for people, and that he doesn't get enough recognition, and that they squander his work, and blah, blah, blah. So, like, mm-hmm. It's funny that they were able to kind of bring that around full circle at the end of the episode where, you know...
They called me a nerd!
Figure out if you're a good guy or a bad guy.
They didn't like my purple jumpsuits when I was a kid. Look who's laughing now! They still are.
All of us. All of us are laughing now.
I'm a hunchback. I have to lean over to these computers that are way too low for me. Aaron, what did you think of this episode?
Dr. Daystrom is played by an actor named William Marshall. And he is in the 1970s, he played Bacula, or Blackula.
Oh, my God.
So he would play Blackula, so he was the Black Dracula.
Blah, blah.
He's also, and if he played, this is a TV show in the 80s, Spider-Man and His Amazing Amazing Friends. It was an old cartoon, and he played Tony Stark.
He also played Blackie there, right?
No, Tony Stark. And did you guys ever watch Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Yes.
I watched the two movies, but I don't. Well, think not I've the ever movies. Yeah, this is Playhouse.
Playhouse. He played King of Cartoons, so he would show up with a projector and they would play a cartoon.
Here's my M5 projector. Look at this.
He was in almost every. Now, in case you didn't know, Pee-wee's Playhouse had what's his name, Morpheus, Lawrence Fishburne as Cowboy Curtis. He was on there. There was a bunch of people. Phil Hartman was a sailor. I forgot the name of the sailor right now, but Phil Hartman's famous for doing a ton of stuff. So interesting. One of my favorite comedians that was unfortunately killed by his wife. But anyway, so he was also in Dinosaur Valley Girls.
That sounds fun.
What the hell is Dinosaur Valley Girls?
Is that a porno?
It sounds wonderful. He was also in Vasectomy, A Delicate Matter.
So, again, this sounds like an adult film.
It's great. I love all of this. So anyways, yeah.
He has a very risque past.
But he played in a lot of different stuff. He played like Alfred Hitchcock Presents, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and stuff like that. So he was in a lot of
The U.N.C.L.E. from TV Man
episodes.
Hmm? It's a lot of who you know and what jobs and what experience you have. So taking these small little roles, super important.
Yeah, you know. But I mean, honestly, I didn't make the connection because he was older by the time Pee Wee's Playhouse. But let me tell you. I know who the king of cartoon is. And if you watch Pee-wee's Playhouse, you know who he is. So,
and he's the M5 computer.
Yes, he designed the M5 computer. After he went mad, he just watched cartoons afterwards.
Yes. It's a great tie-in. It's perfect.
I enjoyed this episode for just a few things. One, the idea of Kirk's getting his job taken away by a computer or a robot.
You're fired.
You're fired. The other thing is, I love the idea of like war games with all the other ships. It's just, as a kid, that was like, whoa, that's so cool, you know?
You get to see the ships fight, that's very cool. Very, very
yeah. Cool. So I thought that was cool, too. Daystrom was such a weird character. You're just like, he seems so cool at first. Like, oh, this is like some super genius. And then he finds out he's a complete, like...
I don't know how to turn it off.
I don't.
There's no off
button. Put an off switch.
That off switch is just a dummy button. It doesn't actually turn it off.
It doesn't do anything.
I've never actually turned it on before. But we know this one works better than 1 through 4. I think.
Fill out a bubble sheet and then put it through the Scantron, and then we'll see. We'll get the answer.
And then stand in front of the hole where the power will get sucked out from the engineering, and you'll be fine. It's like getting your picture taken. It's over a flash.
Later, Captain, it'll blow us all out the Arlac. So
I'm surprised that Five didn't try to do that. That would have been pretty fun.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing I wanted to talk about real quickly is, like we were talking before, like you're talking Boston Dynamics and everything. So there's all sorts of things about people worried, obviously, not just automation, but AI and robots. So it says that robots could take 20 million manufacturing jobs by 2030.
I believe it.
And it could put so there could be at least 14 million robots put to work in China alone.
I can't wait to see Sophia working at the Ford plant.
Get to work. They're using whips.
But I want to destroy all humans. Me.
I want to design a designer dress. No, you will make more iPhones for us.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
Yes, exactly. And so if robots are used in production and stuff like that, they could bring up like GDP, like the gross national product of a nation. So it could bring it up like they're saying like $4.9 trillion per year for the global economy if this happens. So but the other problem is that it's going to put a lot of people out of work. And what do you do when nobody has any work? I mean, some people say
vacation.
Yeah, exactly. But what do you do? There's no your life is a permanent vacation. The other thing is, we saw that in the movie Logan.
You become a pool boy.
I thought it was interesting that they had in the movie Logan, they had self-driving trucks, like
pickup trucks.
Not pickup trucks. Well, I guess, but they were like
semis.
What do you want to call it? Like semis? Yeah. And that they just added that in. But that's the thing. Like, you know, they really believe that there won't be truck drivers in the future. Or not many, at least. They'll all be done by...
the Tesla robots.
Yeah, and now these cars can park themselves. You can send a car to come get you. Your car is like some of these like new Teslas and stuff like that can come like from the parking lot, drive up and come get you.
Yeah, they'll follow your key fob.
They might drive into a lawn or something too, but they're
get
working.
Get your iPhone ready. Get the kick the video. This right. is my Tesla coming to me. Test one.
Right. So
five civilians have died trying to get my Tesla to me.
And there, like, I think in Pittsburgh recently, there was like somebody was killed with a self-driving like Uber or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And it does happen once in a while. Like these things, just you know. But I mean, how people flipped out and they made them turn the self-driving Ubers off in the Pittsburgh area. Like they got rid of them. But, like, how many people just get killed in Pittsburgh anyways by, you know, people driving?
Guns don't kill people. Cars that drive themselves kill people.
And the other thing is, which is interesting, I don't know, guys, have you guys ever heard of the Paperclip Maximizer?
No.
So this is a like this technologist named Nick Bostrom came up with this idea. It's a thought. It's just a theoretical thought that you give a artificial intelligence like robot machine an idea, not to do without. It's not doing it with like hatred or malice towards humanity, but say, hey, I want you to create paperclips. And artificial intelligence, and it doesn't understand anything other than I need to create paper clips. What happens if that thing gets out of control and starts just producing unlimited paper clips and using everything in its power to pull resources and everything to create more paper clips.
That makes me think of the Rick and Morty butter robot.
Yeah, yeah.
What is my purpose? You get butter. Oh my god.
Oh my god, yeah, exactly. That's my one of my favorite scenes, period.
What is
that butter robot?
We need to do Rick and Morty on the show.
Rick and Morty is a really excellent episode or show. But yeah, so that's like I'm not saying that there's a machine out there that's going to maximize paperclips, but it could be anything else. It could be, you know, producing, you know, electricity, an AI that's only about producing electricity, and how far will it go? And you know, destroy the planet or the resources. Yeah, it's a great thought experiment.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Who knows? I mean, computers can go out of control. And what if it can't turn it off? What if it protects itself, just like M5 exactly did? It'll stab our eyes out with paper clips.
You know, and you don't have Kirk to talk it off the ledge.
Oh
so.
My God. What will we do without someone who can help watching a computer and kill it to death?
And the other thing, like, I don't know, was it you or Holly saying that, like, you can give it those laws, but what if it overwrites those laws?
Me.
Don't let it overwrite the laws.
But that's the other thing is in artificial intelligence, that's the other fear is, like, because they can do... They can rewrite their programs so quick that they, within like certain iterations, like be faster than we can even think. They could rewrite all its, it go leaps and bounds in its intelligence that we don't even understand. Yeah. It could go to places that we don't even understand before we even, because it just keeps rewriting itself. And Dave, you weren't you telling me something about, these two intelligent AIs that started talking to each other, and they were like clipped language, and it doesn't even make sense when you read it. Like they were talking.
Yeah, it was like a while ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a couple years back.
Yeah, it was like before, like around Discovery Season 1, I think. I don't remember what it was, but it was like it was crazy that they started talking to each other, and then they had to shut it off because like they couldn't decipher what was happening.
Yeah,
that's kind of scary stuff.
Yeah.
The computers.
Yeah, they're speaking in their own code.
Yeah. I wonder if they ever decided to decipher that. Or if they just like let it be, just turned it off.
Like just shut that off. And what about the robot bot from Twitter that became like a racist Nazi?
Oh yeah.
What?
Whatever happened to that? Yeah, so
they shut it down.
Because they let the internet shape it. It's ideas and thoughts, and basically the internet was a cruel, cruel parent to it. And it read a bunch of weird rhetoric and it became a racist Nazi. It's pretty incredible what the internet can do to an impressionable computer mind.
Yeah, it was called Tay. Tay was the robot. Yeah, it was Microsoft's AI chatbot becomes a racist asshole. So this is real. This is real. This really happened. And it took less than 24 hours for Twitter to corrupt an innocent AI chatbot. Yesterday, Microsoft unveiled Tay, a Twitter bot that the company described as an experiment in conversational understanding. The more you chat with it, with Tay, Microsoft, the smarter it gets, learning to engage people through casual, playful conversation.
The more racist it becomes.
Unfortunately, the conversations didn't stay playful for long. Pretty soon after Tay was launched, people started tweeting the bot at all sorts of misogynistic, racist remarks. And Tay, being essentially a robot parenting the internet connection, started repeating these sentiments back to users. And they started saying these awful things, like just really bad things. And the one thing was like, Hitler was right, I hate the Jews, was one of the things that Tay said. I was like, you have to be kidding me. So, like the reenactment of the
I love Star Microsoft. Trek. It's like the more you talk to it, the smarter it gets. Microsoft.
The bad thing is that it's like we read in the very beginning, like this the Star Trek episode that was done by the bots. Like these bots are just regurgitating like words. It doesn't have any context behind it. So it's going to take quite a bit of programming for these robots to even these artificial intelligence to understand what's the nuances of human interactions.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
But, you know, who knows? Could happen someday.
One day over the rainbow.
Anyways, yeah, that's
it's pretty crazy. AI is going crazy, and then I don't know. We had the great talk with Kipley Brown about AI and the double slit experiment over a year ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago, but that was it is one of those funny things that just like you wonder when they're ever going to break that, you know,
break understanding. That yeah,
yeah.
It'd be fascinating and scary if it does. I don't know. I don't know if I want smart computers.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want things thinking on their own. People, I'm scared of some people thinking on their own. So, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you can find the show at Synthaholics.com. You can contact us at Yahoo.com.
Synthaholics@Yahoo.com.
You can join the Facebook group. Go to Facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics, and you can join the group there and talk to us there. It's always fun. And as well, you can tweet at us at Synthaholics Duo, and that'd be wonderful if you want to tweet us and let us know what you think of the show. And if you find this show valuable, if you're enjoying it, please think. Consider going to our Patreon.com/Synthaholics and consider donating us there. And as always, if you can, let other people know about the show, spread the word about the podcast. We appreciate it, and we hope that our computer overlords will listen to the show someday.
Yeah, we hope so. And we actually had a fan reach out to us on Facebook in our group recently, saying he's been proclaiming the Synthaholics all over the Star Trek Timelines game. So very, very much thanks to him.
And, oh, that's awesome.
And it's kind of funny. I think he said he's listened to all our episodes, but I mean, we talked to people from Disruptor Beam, the people that made Star Trek Timelines back on like our first or second episode.
It was a long time ago.
It was within the first three episodes we talked with some of the Disruptor Beam people about Spock and Leonard. It was episode two because we spoke about Leonard Nimoy's passing and got some of their thoughts about him since they're working on a Star Trek game. So yeah, it's pretty cool that hopefully we'll get more listeners from his valiant efforts of spreading the word of Synthaholics.
Yes, spread the word.
Spread it far and wide, please.
Like peanut butter
over too much bread.
All right, guys. Anything else?
I'm good.
All right.
Thanks everyone for joining us. Live long and prosper. One and all. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
That was wonderful. Except I know the last one is not Earl Grey, it's Earl Gay.
There were a couple of mispronounced words, but yeah.
Earl Gay, hot.
If you want, because we're so close to it, go ahead and say Earl Gay, and I'll swap it.
Earl Gay.
Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk?
Always from space, these aliens!
Okay, everyone be quiet. That was really good.
It was really hard not to laugh when you're like, everyone be quiet. I felt like a little kid, like in class.
Oh, it's like, is that
line
like
up and take your picture.
Is that like everyone the church giggle where you just can't stop laughing when someone tells you not to get laugh?
Exactly.
I was always so hard. Once you knew, especially in church, if they said, don't stop, be quiet. You know, your parents, you just couldn't stop laughing then.
Yes. Hey guys, I'll be right back, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the other idea that Holly had is like for our Thanksgiving show, what we're grateful for. We don't have to pick necessarily an episode, but something with Star Trek that we like, or parts of episodes we like, or maybe scenes or characters or any of that stuff.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So I thought that'd be a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it's like kind of a smorgasbordy episode.
And since there's no real Thanksgiving episode anyways.
There isn't. I mean, the closest thing we sort of get to, like holidays like that is, like, the Tiny Tim scene in Generations.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Which is, I guess, Christmas, I guess, but...
which is depressing as hell anyway, because... because he loses his whole family to that fire, so...
Yep.
Which goes further into Picard's terrible psychology.
Oh, we forgot to mention that in that series.
We did talk about that a little bit. We talked about how, like, everybody died at the end, you know, for, with brothers and stuff, or what was it, family.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we did mention that, but we didn't also mention that, like, he was tempted with a family of his own.
In the Nexus, yeah.
In the Nexus, yeah, we forgot to mention that. Because, I mean, that's the only one little part that kind of ties into that psyche thing.
Right.
And that he's kind of retarded for not going back in time to when he is with Soren on 10 Forward, when he's got the entire starship at his disposal to help him stop Soren.
Right, right.
Instead, no, let's just bring one person back from the Nexus and just do that. Leave Captain Picard in the Nexus. I mean, Captain Kirk in the Nexus.
Just leave him there. He's happy, cooking eggs, happy. Chopping wood.
Trying to get laid again.
Yeah.
By his lady. Yeah, lady it was friend. Great. I mean, like, that's just a much better death. Like, him saving the Enterprise B than him having a bridge fall on him.
Bridge on the captain.
Bridge on the captain! Bridge on the captain!
How ironic. I know. But so that'd be fun. Yeah, because if this comes out the first week of November, I mean, technically it'll be the first if it comes out on Friday. Then we have, what, 2 more episodes? So we'd have to have a filler in between before we got to it.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense. Holly was wanting to do the Dark Crystal TV show, and I'm like, I don't think that's something we can cover. That's a lot of episodes, because I wanted to talk about things we want to talk about, because I was like, well, we talked about the Joker because you want to talk about the Joker on Star Trek, and she's like, let's do the Dark Crystal series. I'm like, maybe we should just do the Dark Crystal movie. Maybe we need to see if she'll be happy just doing the movie, because that way it's like just like 2 hours and not like however long the series is.
We'd have to probably try to condense it. I watched the first 2 episodes, I think, but I haven't watched the rest of them.
I haven't seen any of it.
It's interesting.
I saw the movie back in the day, but I just don't know when I'd be able to watch the entire show.
What are you talking about?
The Dark Crystal.
I was thinking maybe we could just do the movie instead of the show,
or maybe we could condense it into like a few shows, like maybe 3 shows to get to, you know, talk about the movie and that. I only watched the first 2 episodes. I haven't watched the rest of them yet. Was there 10?
I would say, 8? Yeah, if we did like 2 episodes a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be good because it's a lot.
Yeah, I know there's a lot going on for sure.
Really good. I know Dave, your schedule is so crazy. Probably haven't watched it at all yet. I really want Kaylee to watch it.
I don't know. She doesn't like dark fantasy stuff.
Well, yeah. It's not dark fantasy. It's just, I don't know. It's definitely weird.
I feel like Kaylee, at least as like an electrician, can understand how much it takes to put into these puppets. And I just think she'd appreciate that. And the story is pretty cool. I don't think she'd get scared or anything. I think she might enjoy it. And again,
maybe you
like
can,
I said,
maybe you can try to pitch it to her, because
I have pitched it to her,
and I have not. I don't know. she's dubious about your recommendations after Ice Pirates.
Oh, okay. Come well, on. We didn't recommend Ice Pirates. We just said it was a fun movie. Okay.
We didn't say it was a great movie.
Did you guys watch Falling in Love?
No, I didn't know we were going to talk about that.
Well, we weren't. I told Kaylee she needed to watch it. She said, "Oh, great! I needed a movie to watch on Friday night."
Kaylee says, "No, we didn't watch it." She said, "Not happening for Dark Crystal."
Oh, jeez.
Does she know anything about it?
Has she ever seen
it? Did you tell her anything about it? Because I don't know anything about it other than it's puppets.
Oh boy!
And then it's a fantasy-esque setting.
Maybe we'll just do Dark Crystal without you, Dave. Not that I'm discluding you.
it's a really well done. I mean, the original movie is mind blowing what Jim Henson came up with.
Yeah.
Him and his crew.
Oh,
and
from a technical standpoint, it's really amazing. I just wasn't enthralled by the narrative, but it's just like I usually barely have time to watch like the one episode that we're doing for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's understandable. But you know, since you really don't know much about the Dark Crystal movie, I would say you should start with the Netflix show because it's the precursor to the Dark Crystal movie, and it fills in so many gaps.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's gotcha. It's the before. It's the how they got there.
Before?
Before I ate.
What?
Did Shinzon drop some positronic pieces on the Dark Crystal planet and call it before?
No, you did not do that. There's no.
I just love how their computers are always like zeroing in on positronic networks. M5O.
It'd be funny if it shut off. Go M5 out.
M5 out.